I thought it's such a pretty, pretty tune. It is called Footprints, and Wayne Shorter on tenor sax leads the band, consisting of Herbie Hancock on piano, Reggie Workman on bass, and Joe Chambers on drums. This is from Shorter's 2009 album, Adam's Apple. This is Lead Stories. I'm your Trees Lead, and I'm glad to be back with you. I was a victim of circumstances since Monday, and it's by sheer luck today that it's raining very heavily at this time, and that means you're not hearing any noise. But I heard it Monday and Tuesday yesterday, and it was because there's a lot of construction going on where I live, and they don't care. Nobody cares. In their view, it's just something that has to be done, deal with it, and before you know it, it will be over and we all go on with our lives. But it's pure hell when you are right next to it, as I am, and you can't avoid it. So they're doing a lot of improvements, but jeez, the noise, starting at around 8:30 in the morning. Not the best way to wake up, but today it's raining. I love the rain. The rain brings silence, and I could use a bit of silence just about now. Anyway, I'm glad that we can join each other again, because it was impossible to escape the construction noise since Monday. But I'm grateful, even for the noise. It means that people are working. It means they're trying to improve things. But, jeez, I'm not a noise person at all. I lived next door to a guy for 9 years, and he didn't know I was there. Okay, so that tells you the aversion that I have about noise. All right. So today, I thought we would do a kind of tour. And the tour is of your mind. What is it that you're thinking of right now? What are your thoughts about where the country is? What concerns you most about where we are as a nation right now? And why are you concerned about the things that you will tell us you're concerned about? Lots of things are happening. We have a U.S. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer announcing today that he is going to be gone soon from the U.S. Supreme Court. And that means that Biden has a vacancy to fill on the U.S. Supreme Court, which gives him a little bit of clout. Presidents like to be able to bring people onto the court. And he will be leaving soon. I guess as early as tomorrow, we'll get a sense from Breyer when the certain date will be that he will depart. And you can be sure that Joe Biden would make a lot of this. It's a big deal to appoint or to get appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court a U.S. Supreme Court judge. I was following the trial out in Minnesota of the three officers who were present at the time that Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd. And the question in their trial, which is ongoing now, is, well, what did you do? How could you possibly not have intervened to save the life of somebody who was in great distress, who was in fact dying at the hands of a fellow officer? So that is something that we will follow up on as well. But it's your forum today. I want to know what's bothering you, what's concerning you, what you are watching with an eagle eye, and why. Why are you feeling what you're feeling? It's very important that we get to something definitive today. 888-874-4888 is the number to call, as you know. And let's get started as quickly as we can. There's a lot to talk about, and I have no shame in admitting it. I'll be using some of your clues to shape programs that I think other people would want to hear, because the way you see it is probably the way they see it too. 888-874-4888. What is going on right now in this nation that concerns you deeply? And why does it concern you? Could you give us a clue as to what it is that concerns you and why? Why? All right, 888-874-4888. I've announced the number enough times now. You should know it. You should have it pasted on your forehead and on your walls, all over your house. 888-874-4888. Everybody ought to know that number, because that's the number you get heard on and that you talk to other people on. And we share thoughts, because interestingly, you would find that many of our thoughts coincide with each other. We have a kind of lineup going, and it is not at all unusual that we're thinking the same thing. But it is not important that people agree with you or disagree with you. It is important, though, that they make a strong effort to listen to what you have to say and how you're saying it, and then later on, of course, why. Why are you saying what you're saying? And if you do a good job of that, I'm satisfied. That's good for me. Be very clear about your opinion, whatever it is. And I'm going to guarantee you that people may disagree, but they'll have to respect it, you see? That's the kind of show we do here. Everybody has an opinion. It may not hit others well. It may not, you know, it may not get a round of applause, but it is your opinion. I'm only interested in how you justify it, how you come to that conclusion. We start off with Gwen from Manhattan. Hello, Gwen.
You asked what we have an eagle eye on right now. And what I have an eagle eye on right now, and I'm really terrified, is the idea of going to war with Russia. I saw something the other day. It was really strange. I was behind a bus in New York, and on the back of the bus, the advertisement was, if you feel like you've been exposed to radiation, first get inside. And it was like a to-do list for what you should do if you get hit with radiation. Now, I've lived in New York for 35 years. I've never seen anything like that. And I know that we are sending all kinds of military equipment over to Russia. And I know that Joe Biden said yesterday, you know, he had a little tip with a classified guy.
We're sending equipment to the Ukraine.
Yes, we are sending equipment. And Joe Biden said yesterday on TV, listen, man, this is, we're looking at like World War III. And then he called him an SOB. Now, I mean, so the writing is pretty clear on the wall. And, you know, I think that, I think there was sort of this, I don't know, there was an idea, well, I'm not even going to go into the idea, but I feel that it's very imminent that this could turn into a real catastrophe for everyone in the world, for every person in the world, this could be a total catastrophe. Russia is as armed as we are. We purposely put our troops on the front line of Ukraine in 2016. And, you know,
Ukraine.
Right. But for them, that was like, you know, well, for us, it would be like them putting their troops in Cuba. That's how uncomfortable they are feeling about us having our troops on their border. And a lot of people don't understand what NATO is about. NATO doesn't go, you know, by themselves. They go together as now 30 countries, and Ukraine wants to be a part of NATO. So I'm really keeping my eye on this, and I'm really scared, and I even think Joe Biden is scared of what could happen. They started a show on just regular TV last night, blowing up, you know, targets and stuff. And it's very stressful. I mean,
what do you think is the purpose of all of that media manipulation, if you will?
Well, I don't know. I never think the media tells you exactly how serious it is until you're really kind of deep in there. So they mitigate for a long time, and then they'll show you a little something. But often it's much more serious than what they're currently reporting. So they sound very serious at least on ABC, about what's going on and the ramifications, and then showing the president. And I also think that, you know, there are people that have wanted to go to war with Russia for quite a long time. They don't think that it's going to be a big deal having so-called limited nuclear strikes. They think that the planet can get over that. We can heal over that. They think that it will just be limited. Well, you know, I wouldn't want to be in the limited strike area. You know, I just wouldn't want to. And we keep poking them in the eye. It's like you keep poking Russia in the eye and thinking they're not going to do anything. But it was very, very problematic when we put our troops on the border of Ukraine. It really was poking them right in the eye and expecting them not to do anything. And I really wish people would stop and get
changed. Well, you do know, of course, that there are rules of war. And that may sound very naive and simplistic, but there are rules of war.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we always seem to get around those rules.
Yeah, well, people do that all the time. The United States was known for that.
Right.
Getting around the rules of war. You don't just declare war and go to war.
No, it's not going to be.
Have you assessed what has happened in the world of diplomacy so far? Does the United States seem interested? Does Russia seem interested in sitting down and talking?
It looks to me like Russia is interested in sitting down and talking, and it looks like Tony Blinken is really playing hardball. And I listened to both of them speak the other day, and Blinken came out kind of like, I've said all I can say. There's nothing more I can say at this point, and then, you know, we'll talk about it some more tomorrow. Where the Russian person who was trying to, mitigate was saying, look, we need more talk. We need more talk privately behind closed doors so, you know, we can hash this thing out. But it seemed that there was a willingness there on his side to say, let's be reasonable about this. This is really, really crazy. And it seems like there is an agenda. And, you know, then you have to remember that Joe Biden seems like he personally does not like Putin one bit. Seems like they've had a rival for quite some time. And now he's the president. And I do think he's very upset at the prospect of going to World War III. It's one thing to, you know, I won't use that term, but to see how far you can urinate with one another. But it's another thing to start picking up weapons. And it's very, very scary watching this, because this is it. Biden is right. This will be World War III. And, you know, I've always thought, unfortunately, it would happen in my lifetime, but I really, really was praying it wouldn't.
Okay, well, thank you for getting us started and getting us thinking. Thanks so much. Jeremiah from Harlem, you're on the air. Hello?
Can you hear me, Eutrice?
I can hear you now.
Okay, great. I don't know what that little pause was. Well, let me say, first of all, I've had the pleasure and the privilege of traveling pretty extensively. There are a lot of places that I haven't been able to go that I would love to visit at some point, but I have had the pleasure of traveling to the Ukraine on two separate occasions. And it's just a wonderful country. Some of the most beautiful scenery I've seen in a modern city is in Kyiv. And they have a beautiful park that is just embellished with art as you travel through the park. I've never quite seen anything like it. I've never seen a people, and I could say, as someone who's been to quite a few countries, I've never seen a people make such incredible use of public space. I will never forget that. I was greeted by my host, and we went for a walk in this beautiful people's park. They had a playground that was like an Alice in Wonderland type of design. It was like a museum in the park, and the people were just enjoying each other's company, and they were out in the grass, you know, whether it be just drinking wine or listening to music. I also noticed there were people outside, and this is late in the evening, that would sit there by themselves, just maybe reading a book, seemingly, you know, unembarrassed that they weren't with other people. You know, I remember people just sitting there just listening to music by themselves. And I've never seen a people who make use of such public space. So I have a great deal of love and admiration for Ukraine. And I'm really terrified for what's occurring right now. And this goes back to, you know, the Russification of the former Soviet Union. We have a very ignorant misconception in this country that the Soviet Union collapsed, and that was Russia. And Russia equals the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union was 15 republics that made a union to be the Soviet Union. And Russian was the central language, but it also wound up being a sort of a cultural imperialism. All these various countries have their own languages. The Ukrainian is a language. Belarusian is a language. Et cetera, et cetera. All the various former republics, they have their own language, and their own cultures and languages were suppressed to some extent because the Russian language and ultimately the Russian culture wound up being sort of a dominant force. And now with the collapse of the Soviet Union, the Russian nation seems to want to meddle in the affairs and control to whatever extent they can all the other former republics. And there's this particularly hostile relationship with Ukraine. And, you know, the United States, you know, is at risk of making a bad situation worse. What Putin is doing right now is menacing. It's threatening. It's really unacceptable. And, you know, I don't know what recourse we have as a global community, but the United States should be really appealing to international diplomacy and not creating the conditions for a showdown, because we know the destructive...
Well, that's exactly what the United States has a record of, creating a showdown. There has been no consistent effort. Once the acquisition of these Soviet republics was achieved, we have to appreciate the fact of what that process is. What does it mean from the point of view of Russia? You can't be totally yourself because you are challenging the 100% ownership of Russia. You see? That does not go over well.
Right.
So, to some degree, this grew out of this. Russia comes out of a history of very forceful control.
Yes.
And it's a huge country. The United States could fit into Russia a couple of times.
It's geographically the largest country in the world.
Yes, it is. It's 13 time zones wide. I've been there. The thing is, I've been to Ukraine as well. The idea that we here in the West have a very simplistic idea because we have never had to deal with these questions in an esoteric way or in a practical way, which is, how do you incorporate people you have conquered into a country and believe that things will run smoothly? It just shows how simplistic the analysis is. That's a lot of work. But for Russia, it was a matter of just gaining more territory. That was the number one thing, to gain vast territory.
Right.
I was on a train in Russia, as a matter of fact, and I saw these two guys vigorously hugging each other and slapping each other on the back, and they were laughing and carrying on. And I asked my guide, I said, what happened there? He said, oh, they discovered that they're neighbors. I said, is that right? They live more than 700 miles from each other. But in their minds, they were neighbors. And it blew me away. A simple gesture like that, that had a lot of meaning, that people never seen each other. One guy says, I'm from this town. The other guy says, oh, I'm from such and such. And they were rejoicing and very happy that they were neighbors. We can't see that in the United States.
Right.
Somebody from Georgia runs into somebody from Alabama and they're slapping each other in the back because they're neighbors. It doesn't
Different
work
culture.
Like that. So we do not have an appreciation that people in that part of the world have. They define their world very differently. And the complications come in the aftermath or the lead up and the aftermath of war.
Right.
Because how do you integrate people you have conquered? Are you sure that they're going to be loyal? Are you sure that they're not going to be planning against you? Are you sure they want to be with you? It's a very serious question.
Look at Dagestan, for example. I mean, there's all this tension with Russia proper and Dagestan. Dagestan's not even an independent country, but they're a people who view themselves as a culturally different people and a great antagonism
yes.
with Russia. The Azerbaijanis had a torturous experience with the Russians upon the fall of the Soviet Union.
Nobody is exempt. The British have done it. Americans have done it, and the French have done it. So you find, I just read an article yesterday about an Italian town in which nobody speaks Italian.
Wow.
Nobody.
Fascinating. What do they speak?
They speak a Corsican kind of French.
Huh.
They refuse to speak Italian.
Fascinating. Sort of like Barcelona.
Barcelona to you. The thing is that these are the consequences of war.
Yes.
And it very seldom has to do with, oh, we're going to win, they're going to lose. Yes, that's part of the equation. But it goes so much deeper than that.
Yeah.
What are people feeling? And what they are feeling is what energizes what they will do.
Right. And I'll just,
we've never gotten,
in closing,
as the United States, they've never gotten that point.
Clearly not. And I'll just say in closing, you know, we really need to consider with all of this American adventurism that we've witnessed over decades now and in the post-World War II period, one thing that we seem to fail to understand repeatedly is that when we look at a problem externally, when we involve ourselves, we have then created a new problem. So, you know, it's like you're trying to fix something, but your presence in the situation creates an altogether new problem with unpredictable dynamics and consequences
because
associated
with it. Who are we to appoint ourselves the world leaders in fixing things? We don't have that record.
And we have a very bad track record in these matters.
Very bad track record.
Well, thank you, Patrice. I appreciate the conversation.
Thank you so much for your call today. Thank you. Wayne from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
PRN family.
Thank you.
My thing is what I'm looking at with COVID games, the so-called COVID games anyway. Here I work for the state, and the policies change as much as the CDC or VAERS website, where daily they stuff up and take it down. At one time, they had this thing that scared everybody. You tested positive, oh, you have COVID. Stay out for at least 10 days and be tested to come back in. That changed. They're bringing folks back in after 5 days with no tests. Now, the mask mandates, I don't know how we don't have this international approach, but everything is just here. Throughout the world, everybody else is seeing through it and getting rid of these diapers on the face. But they insist we wear them. Mr. Biden just ordered so many millions or billions of in these sophisticated masks that people should wear, which still does nothing but restrict you from breathing oxygen.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what it does. The jury is still out on these masks.
According to them, they're following the science or what Dr. Fauci says is science.
Yes, everybody's following the science, but people are dying just the same.
Yes, they are. They are. And unfortunately, the things that are killing them came from a weaponized form of this that they don't know. Or they know because they did it. And it's sad because understand now they found this in animals and killing the animals. My mind go back to the AIDS virus when
but wait a minute now, you're taking us on a scenic tour. What is the central point?
Just to show you how we go through the same thing, but we don't learn. We as a people don't learn. The first thing with AIDS was the green monkeys. They went and that through. Then the Africans, the Haitians. The swine flu, they murdered so many pigs throughout this country and the world for something that was done in a lab. That didn't cure them. The bird flu. You in Florida, remember how many chickens they seized from people's yard and supposedly killed because prevention of the bird flu? These are the things we to me don't want to understand. That they keep doing this over and over and over to hide.
Who are the they? Make a definitive and declarative statement here today.
They being the government and the agencies that they have set up to do these things. Because they are not over, it's not about the welfare of the people. We know
but who are the they,
Obama,
in your view? Who are these people you're calling they?
They. The governing system of the country, or even bigger than that, the governing system of the world. They have policies set out. They have policies, and we tend to ignore them. There was one they called the World Global Conference, and this was with, what was his name? President Carter. Remember him?
Yes.
Okay.
Is something happening where you are that is distracting you?
Okay. Yes, there was. But we back now. I'm back. President Carter.
Yeah, but you're on live radio, so you have to be on point.
Yes. Under President Carter, the so-called white countries had a big conference. He was the chair. It was decided that the white folks were dying out too quickly, and the black folks...
Okay, wait a minute, wait a minute. You're giving us conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory. The question...
It is not a conspiracy.
Wait a minute. You were supposed to be addressing the question I asked. And the question I asked was...
Yes. What is on your mind?
What is on your mind?
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving us a scenic tour of all the various calamities that have already occurred, but you're not telling us what is on your mind.
Good. Started with the COVID game, as I want to call it, because they're playing us the same way they've been playing us for a long time. And we just don't want to, whether it's connect the dots, draw the lines, the connection, but they are there. They are there, right in plain sight, as they will see.
Okay. Well, we have to leave it there for today.
Yes, yes, yes.
When you, it's very important for you to prepare your statement so we can follow you every step of the way. And we can see how, you know, your thoughts are developing. Yes.
Your guidance is truly, truly fascinating. I enjoy it, and thank you for your advice.
You think it's fascinating? You should have been talking to my mother and my father. There was nothing fascinating at all.
But thank you. I understand. You helped me so much that, yes, I appreciate everyone.
Yes, you want to prepare yourself because, as I said, it is not important whether people agree or disagree. It is important, though, that you are clear in what it is you are saying and what you have prepared us.
You still want to be here?
Nope. Yes.
So I want to thank you for calling in. And you know what, more than anything else, I want to thank you for your laughter. And for taking things in stride. I really admire that. Thank you so much. Neil from Connecticut, you're on the air. Are you there, Neil?
Hi. My name is Charles. Are you speaking to me, moderator?
Oh, I see on my list here a Neil from Connecticut calling.
Charles from Connecticut calling, and happy to be here. I thank you for your talents and skills.
Thank you, Charles. Welcome aboard.
The moderator, right? So I also thank the previous speakers here. I wanted to talk about the fog of war, and I'm not sure what the topic was for today's content.
There's no topic. The topic simply is a question. What do you feel right now, and why are you feeling it, about the state of the nation?
I feel that the war imminence arising upon us, at least through the media convention is perhaps a distraction to bring about digital central bank currencies. Why do I say this? Because it is under crisis circumstances that we find ourselves imposed with new realities. They've been rather rapid, seemingly increasingly so, in the last 20, 23 years. My concern is that once we go to a digital currency, we will be not allowed to travel or to do that which we might ordinarily have done in the past, because our money can be turned on and off at will. These wartime conditions are concerning to me. So I just throw that out. I was almost caught off guard being asked to speak at this point. My name is not Neil, but it's Charles, and I am happy to be a participant here. I'm concerned that, as a leftist myself, that six-pack Joe, who is a corporate senator by pedigree from Delaware, the DuPont plantation, is now coming forward. And although I like the idea of government stimulus for production and for growth, for allowing the working class to earn a living, I'm concerned that the labels have been turned, that the money is in fact being printed for Wall Street speculators, and that the small business of America is collapsing. This is a big topic. Did I make any sense? Does anyone want to comment? Could the moderator?
I'm very attentive to what you're saying. I never thought of it in that way.
God bless you all, should you find God in your life or not. Going back on mute. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call today. Thanks for participating. Henry, oh no, not yet. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, all.
Good afternoon.
What's on my mind, the top of the list, is what I sense as a condition in the country of great censorship in print media and electronic media about certain things, especially the pandemic and the means of dealing with it. And I've run into many people who are quote-unquote well-educated in the highest institutions in this country, and they are completely ignorant of anything other than what is fed to them by the corporate media, and all the things that are alternatives are not generally known, and quite a few people that I have talked to don't want to know anything about it. So the censorship is very effective. And what I'm thinking is that the country has been taken over nearly completely by the corporations, and they're behind the censorship. It's important to keep the people ignorant if you want to control. So that's what's on my mind. Also, as part of this, your question, what's on my mind is the concept of you must have enemies. So those who rule the country, that is the corporations, I think they're in charge at this point. They have enemies because when you have enemies, you can provide services and equipment and weapons and all the things of warfare. So you got to have an enemy. It's Chinese or the Russians in this case, right in the forefront now. And that is what's on my mind. They always have to have some enemies out there, and that helps the budget that goes into the pockets of the corporations that I think really rule the country, and that's the state that this country is in now, where control at all levels basically by corporations.
So what, therefore, is your plan of resistance, and is it working?
Yes, I have taken steps. For example, I used to be a seven-day subscriber to the so-called, quote-unquote, paper record, the New York Times, and I just cut that out. And I'm speaking out about this condition. It's very difficult. You get a lot of resistance from people who have fallen for the censorship, and they don't want to hear anything. I've had people tell me they don't want to hear anything about this. The government section that is run by the corporation runs the government, very good at propaganda, I think, and they get people into the state where they can propagandize them so well that it's very difficult when someone like me tries to speak what I see as a different point of view. And I've been told, don't talk to me about certain things, and, you know, I should shut up and so forth. So I think they are very skillful at propagating propaganda to people and doing what they have to do to control the folks by censorship and propaganda. So that is my main concern.
Well, thank you. Thank you for bringing it clearly to us. That's a message as well to us.
Thank you very much.
That we should be anticipating a kind of fight back, because we have to accept, really, how terrified people are of the truth. That they don't want to see it, they don't want to talk about it, they don't know anything about it. So yes. Anybody bringing these ideas to them would be, of course, disturbing their peace, and they don't want it. So
that's exactly what is happening when I do that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Ignorance for many of these people truly is bliss. They don't want to hear anything. They're not prepared to do anything. They're not certainly not prepared to oppose anything. Thank
exactly.
you, Brother David. Thank you for being with us today and for contributing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Trees, how's it going?
It's going.
All right. Same here. I'm looking at my outside thermometer, and it is like 10 degrees out here.
Believe it or not, it's very cold in Florida now. Very cold.
Yeah, not 10 degrees cold. I'm pretty sure of that.
No, not 10 degrees cold.
What is concerning me, and I'll probably touch on some topics that the previous callers have brought up, to having a discussion about certain local politics happening here in Chicago. But then I also brought up the situation in the Ukraine. And so, you know, somebody asked me, well, what does that have to do with us? Why should we be concerned about that? And so when he asked that question, I kind of feel like he's kind of what most people are in regards to issues that are divided within a local, national, and international level. And what most of us fail to understand is that they're all connected. And I think we have this problem of not putting the dots together when we're talking about issues that affect us directly and issues that affect us indirectly. And this is some of the things that happens when people talk about, say, for instance, you know, the unarmed black men getting killed by white cops. Not thinking, you know, thinking that, you know, these are just isolated incidents. Not understanding or probably ignoring that it's all part of the system. So when we're talking about the Ukraine and the Ukraine situation and why it affects us, because for me, and I think there was a caller that talked before, Brother David, who regarded it as a distraction. I don't count that as a distraction. Whether there is an underlying goal for it or not, whether it be actual war with Russia or changing the currency, those are major topics that is not distraction. When you're talking about distraction is something you could just basically ignore. You can't ignore that situation. And for me, when I start looking at some of the recent bills that were passed through Congress. I mean, they're sending hundreds of millions of dollars to Ukraine to fight against this, you know, Russian threat, which for me personally, I don't think when I heard about the Ukraine situation, you know, it was based off of some intelligence from the UK that Russia had this plan of attacking the Ukraine. And I think it all stems from the situation that happened in Crimea back in 2014. But for me, when Congress is passing hundreds of millions of dollars of bills unanimously, bipartisanly, you know, not one no vote or maybe one or two no votes for some people, but they can't pass a bill that so-called, you know, creates jobs for infrastructure. They can't pass the Voting Rights Act. They can't pass the George Floyd Act and all these other bills that help black, brown, and poor people. And you can't get these bills passed, but you are unanimously giving hundreds of millions of dollars to a situation where you want to create war and possibly create World War III. So I go back to the fellow and say, listen, you know, they're giving away hundreds of millions of dollars that could be used here, that could be used in other cities, you know, that could help people out that are struggling. We're still in a pandemic. People are still losing jobs. People are getting ready to get evicted after this moratorium of rent and mortgages are lifted. So, you know, how does this not affect us? And for two, if World War III happens and you see a mushroom cloud, you know, in your city, how is that not, you know, your problem, or how does that not affect you? So, you know, for me, we all have to connect the dots, even when it comes to issues that stand at a local, national, and political level. Now, we can't tangibly touch, you know, Ukraine. I mean, you had a previous caller who said, you know, he visited the Ukraine, and a lot of us haven't. I haven't visited the Ukraine, and I don't really, you know, go off as knowing the complete situation. I just have my thoughts about it, whether it's right or wrong. The problem is that it's a problem. So, and it's all connected, if you ask me.
Well, one little question. in the United States, is war a good thing?
I would say no.
War is not a good thing?
War, from my standpoint, and I might be wrong about this, but from what I'm gathering now, where I am politically, and where I am as a person, no, I don't think war is not a good thing.
To disagree with that? War has been a very good thing for the United States. It jumpstarts the economy. It gets billions of dollars rolling. It gets a lot of factories producing things. Death is very profitable. It's a great thing, a great jolt in the arm for the United States. It actually is very sad when peace breaks out because, you know, they're not selling anything. Nothing is moving. But when we have war or the threat of war, oh, this economy keeps humming. It's a great stimulus. And perhaps that's why Joe Biden was talking so much about stimulus just before this issue of the Ukraine got really up to a point of critical mass. It is there now. So there are forces within the United States who want war. They like it. It's great for them. It makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
Small or large, as long as it is war, they'll do all right. The rest of the country just have to kind of keep pace. And, you know, hopefully they will turn out okay too, but that's not the main problem. The main concern is that the economy, and by economy we mean those corporations that form the basis of the economy, will be doing very well in times of war or warfare.
Yeah,
well, that brings us to the end of the program, Henry.
Okay.
I did that so that you could call again.
Oh, don't worry, I will.
Thank you so much for calling in today. Thank you all for calling in. And you see how important it is to ask these questions. I mean, these are questions that needed to be asked a long time ago. What is this idea that we automatically accept Joe Biden's explanation or the Russians' explanation of why it is necessary to have some kind of armed conflict? When we know there are so many layers to this, we can't even begin to unmask them all. Thank you, and let's talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.